and that he loves us all, and he wants us to help us in this old life as we travel through it. And but the thing that is so wonderful is just to know that that God loved us enough that he gave his only son so that we could have a choice. I'm going to talk to all of y'all just like you don't know anything, okay? And I just want to share with you what God has done so that we could have a choice. And most of you old enough and been here long enough, you already know it. But I think that every time, whenever we hear it, it ought to remind us of the greatness of God and his love. And so we need something that is so good and so wonderful, it ought to be repeated over, I think, and over and over. And so today I want to share with you what God has done for us and in us already, and what he wants to do through us. And so there are two things I would like to see accomplished today. One, if you're here and you have never been saved, if you have never invited Jesus to come into your heart, that you would open your heart up and let Jesus come in. If you don't have peace, because he is the peacemaker, and he brings peace to troubled hearts and lives. And all he wants to do is to he wants to save you from your sins and the judgment of your sin. And he wants you to have the best life that you can have as you live in this old world. And then in that glorious consummation of our lives, or whenever he shall come in glory, that he'll take us to that wonderful place so that we may share with him forever. And I tell you what, it's a wonderful and an exciting thing to be a Christian. And then I want to remind all of us that we are to be his witnesses in today's world. And I just don't want to make you feel condemned except to the extent that you will refocus your life upon Jesus in such of a way that you'll walk with Jesus. And as you go, wherever you go, and as you live your life, that you will be his witness. And every one of us can and are witnesses for the Lord. And there's some that can confront people on an individual basis, face to face, and talk with them. Some have a difficult time in doing that. But I would hope to be able to share with you how you are to be a witness, and how you are witnessing, and if you're not witnessing, how that you can be a witness, and you will find such joy in it that you will find joy in living. And that is your ultimate purpose, is to glorify God, to live for him, to serve him. And whatever you're doing for a living, you just do that to pay expenses in life. But your purpose is to live and glorify Jesus Christ. We know that the Bible makes it plain. And Paul, the writer of Romans, tells us that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that in the beginning of this world, when God created it, and whenever he spoke and it came into being, and whenever he placed man in the Garden of Eden and gave him a helpmate, it was a perfect and an idyllic world. And God came down in the cool of the day, and he had fellowship with Adam and Eve. And he asked them for just one thing, not to eat of a tree that was forbidden for them to eat of. Because if they did that and made a choice to disobey him, this would bring into their lives the consequences of the choice that they would make, and it would be a terrible consequence. And how that they would not only be banished from the garden and separated from God, but they would begin to live a life apart from him and they will know the experience of suffering in this life and in this world, and the eventually decaying of the human body as it progresses more and more, as it passes through this life, as it grows older and weaker until it goes down in death. And then there would be ultimate punishment and separation from God forever. And so God saw what man had done and what had happened to man whenever he disobeyed him in the Garden of Eden. And so when Adam and Eve was born, they had a choice to obey God or to disobey him, to live with God and share with God and enjoy all of his creation and all of its glory and beauty. And whenever they disobeyed, then as we've said, sin came into the world. And so you and I, when we were born, we did not have a choice. We came into a world of sin, of suffering and pain, isolation from God. And God looked upon us and he cared for us in such of a way that he had to do something and he had to intervene in order to give us a choice. And so we all know what God did. It tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And so you know the story of how Christ was born, how that he was conceived in the womb of Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and how that which was in that woman was holy, and it was of God. And as you have heard me say, some of you before, that the blood that flows in our body comes from the male. And so the blood, and so the seed that was planted in Mary, it was placed there by the Holy Spirit. And so he became God, and he indwelt in a human body in order that he may experience all that we experience. And he had to live a perfect life in order that he may be able to sacrifice himself for us. And so in order that we might have a Savior and there might be a way that we could come back to God, then we know how that Christ came and how that he was born into this world and how he walked upon this earth and how that he lived and how that he overcame sin and he defeated sin humanly as he lived in this human body. He was able because of love not to ever sin, and of the desire to conquer and overcome the old flesh, because he loved us so much. And this is the most powerful force in all the world, the love of God. Your love for your child will make you do something that you wouldn't do, and it will keep you from doing something that you would never do. And so God, in his infinite love for us, he lived a perfect life. Then he took the consequences of sin, not only in the living in this life and suffering in this human body and being tempted as we are tempted and knowing of loneliness and knowing of pain, knowing of the sorrow of loved ones dying and knowing of the sorrow of rejection and being cursed and treated rudely. He knows of all of the pains that we know of. And so he understood it all. And yet he gave himself as he came and he died upon the cross of Calvary. And he gave himself there and he was utterly abandoned of God. And he died humanly with all of the weight of the sin of the world on his heart. His heart literally burst as he hung upon the cross. And we know that in that anguish, he that knew no sin became sin for us in order that we might become the righteousness of God. And so he cried out being left all alone and without God and without the help of God and without utter hope. And he cried, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Because God cannot look upon sin. And he became sins for us in order that we might have a choice. And so whenever he died upon the cross, he not only died, but he was resurrected. And whenever he came forth from the grave, he conquered our last enemy. And so whenever we come to a funeral service, and the person that is a child of God, and whenever they vacate that body, they have gone to be with God. Death did not conquer them. They overcame death because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he was resurrected not only to save us from the consequences of sin, but to give unto us eternal life and heaven for our eternal place to live forever. And by the way, you will find that when we realize heaven, we find that God tells us in the Scriptures that he will make a new heaven and a new earth. And the paradise that was known of in the beginning, it shall be reestablished here on this earth as God purifies it and renews it and makes a new heaven and a new earth. And then the holy city of God will come down in it, and Jesus will reign with us forever and ever and ever. And so whenever we live our lives and whenever we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, one thing that we come to understand, people are lost without Jesus Christ. And whenever we reflect upon what Christ has done for us, it's shouting time. It's time for us to just glorify the Lord and to hold him up in our lives, in our deeds, in our words, in our living and our sharing of him. And whenever we come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, he tells us that we are to be his witnesses. And so whenever I became a Christian, and when most of you became a Christian, you immediately thought of someone, or you had a desire within your heart to see other people saved. And you've heard me refer to the time when I became a Christian. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't understand all of those things I've been sharing with you to this point. But when I came to know Christ, I was in church and I heard the teaching of the Word. And then I felt the drawing and the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And whenever I sensed that I needed to respond to Christ and receive him as my Savior, I had to struggle just like many of you struggle. And some respond the first time. But whenever the Holy Spirit draws us and woos us and convicts us and makes us aware that we're sinners and reminds us of the righteousness that we must possess and of the glory that is to come, then under the wooing of the Holy Spirit, as we yield to the will of the Father that has made it possible that through his Son that we could come and receive Christ as our personal Savior and our sacrifice for our sins and take him into our hearts and experience life with him and find something different and meaningful and joyful whenever we come to know him. I was living a purposeless life just there, living day by day. No hope, no promise of no tomorrow, no direction as to what to do with my life. But when Jesus came into my heart, he gave me a desire and he gave me purpose. And that was to help other people come to know Jesus. And in my heart, I remember talking with a friend of mine who was without Christ. James had a limp, and he walked like this. Fine friend of mine, and as we talked together and did things together, James was not a Christian. One Sunday afternoon, I felt like I needed to go over and see James. I wanted him to be saved so bad. And I didn't have a vehicle. And so I walked over to the church. He lived next door to the church. And I went to the house and I said, James, let's go over to the church for a minute. I'd like to talk with him. So we went over there. And I begged James to accept Jesus. And I pleaded with him. And James would not invite Jesus into his heart. But it was on my heart. I will go on and say James got saved. And I'll bring that up in a little bit. But it was on my heart I wanted him to be saved. I carried a little girl to church one Sunday night that was not a Christian. And she got saved that night. And I carried her home, and her little sister had just come in on a bus at Cairo High School and had been off into a music camp. And she shared with her sister that she had got saved. And her sister says, I want to be a Christian too. And she shared. I remember I could stand here for, I guess, an hour or 2 hours or whatever, and just remind you and share with you people that whenever they came to know Christ, that they wanted somebody to be saved. A little girl named Debbie, she was 16 years old. And she got saved when I was pastoring down in Griffin. And whenever she got to know Christ, she just had a burden for people. And she had a real burden for her mom and her daddy. And I remember one Sunday morning as I preached and gave the invitation, Debbie came down the aisle and she was just weeping. And she was so, I thought she was going to fall before she got to me. And I reached out and caught her in my arms and we just fell on our knees. And whenever she got to speak where she could speak, she said, Brother Paul, she says, if my mama and my daddy are not saved, I don't think I can stand it. And so little Debbie and I, we knelt there and we prayed for her mama and for her daddy. And I'm thankful that I can say that within a week, her mama got saved. And I was preaching the following Sunday night, baptizing about 20 or 25 people after the service. And then whenever I gave the invitation, Gene stepped out of that pew and came down that aisle. And he said, Paul, I want Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, whenever you get saved and you are living for the Lord, you want to see people saved. And I just want to ask you today, if you're not a Christian, God loves you so much. He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to be safe. He wants to help you with your life. He wants to care for you. He wants to walk with you. He wants you to have the help that you need whenever you can't make it on your own. And he don't want you to be afraid. He wants to just walk with you and share with you and give you a life of help and strength and purpose and joy and the wonderfulness of his presence. This morning I got up and I study a lot and I read a lot. And as I was thinking about coming to church today and preach, it seemed like my mind just went blank. And it just seemed like I had forgotten everything that I was thinking about using today. And so I just started singing, I am weak, but thou art strong. And as I sang, then my fears were taken away. And I have times whenever I can just sit down and just feel the overwhelming presence of the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, I never knew anything like that before I got saved. But I'm here to tell you, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, if you try him, you'll lack him. Amen. And I want to tell you something. If you want a life of purpose, you'll find purpose. And if you want a life of peace, he can whisper in the terriblest storm you ever go through, peace be still. And then the sea will stop raging. And so the thing that's more important than anything in the world for all of us today is just to remember what God has done in order that we might be saved. And realize what God has given us the privilege of doing, and that is of being his witnesses in today's world. And so whenever we come to know Christ and we begin to live for him, we have a warning in Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 3. As the writer of Hebrews, as he is writing to the Hebrew Christians, and he is warning them not to neglect their salvation. They are saved people that he's addressing, but he tells them not to neglect their salvation. And so we can neglect the salvation that we have found in Christ. We can fail to study the Bible and fail to grow in our understanding and fail to understand all that God has for us and the riches and the greatness of life and the glory of living for Him and the victories that we can win that beats us down and overcome things that beat us down in this life, and we can rise triumphantly and be able to overcome the evil one and the world and the flesh and live in such of a way that we can be a witness continuously for Him. And so the writer of Hebrews is telling us we don't need to neglect our salvation. We need to cherish it, and we need to develop our relationship with God. And we should learn more of what He would have us to do. And as we learn and as we grow and as we become more like Him and more like He wants to be, then we will be walking in fellowship with Him, and there will be that desire. And we will keep first and foremost in our lives our calling and the responsibility and the privilege and that God has given us, that we might be a witness for Him in reaching this world in which we live. And so God wants us to understand that. But I promise you, every one of us that's in this congregation today, including myself, there has been times whenever we have failed to honor God like we ought to in our lives. We have failed to worship Him as we ought to worship Him. And we have failed to love Him as we ought to love Him. And we become attracted to the world, and the world draws us away, and we give more attention to the world, and then we begin to neglect our worship and our living and serving Him and being involved in the ministry that He has given us, and knowing of the joy of staying in that fellowship, and those sin will just get a hold of us, the devil will get a hold of us and beat us down. I was thinking of King David as I was thinking on that passage of Scripture. And if you would turn in Psalm 51, this is the prayer of King David. You know the story of King David. The Bible tells us that he was a man after God's own heart. And then David is one day, instead of being in battle, he stayed at home and he became idle. And you know of the tragedy that came to this man that was a man after God's own heart. So don't ever say that you will never fail, and don't ever say what you will never do. King David failed, and he did something that he should never have done, and he did it because he had neglected his salvation, his relationship with God, and his glorifying God and loving people and caring for people and trying to reach this whole world for Him. And as he stayed home and he committed adultery, and then from one thing to another. And David, after he did this, you will find that he's stayed there for a while. And a lot of time when we sin and we do things that are wrong, we don't want to face up to it. We try to make ourselves look good in every situation. But whenever you sin, if you don't get rid of it, it's going to cause greater problems and greater troubles and lead you further away from God and make you ineffective if you're God's child. And so if you're wise, if you have any sense at all, whenever you sin, you admit it and confess it in order that you may continue to walk in the light and have fellowship with the Son and be able to serve Him and glorify Him. But King David, he was in sin, and he continued on until one day somebody spoke to him. And you know the story, how that Nathan the prophet came to him and told him a story of a man who had one little lamb. And then there was another man who had hundreds and thousands of lambs. And how that a wayfaring stranger came to the man's house that had all of these lambs. And so he wanted to prepare a meal for him. And instead of preparing a meal for him off one of his flock, he goes next door and takes the one little lamb. And he slays it and prepares a meal for the person that he was preparing for. And David said, "Who's that? Who did that? Who did that? Who did that?" He was so furious to know that somebody would do that. And he, with the many wives he had, took the wife of this man, this one wife. And Nathan stuck his finger in his face and said, "You are the man." You may not have committed adultery. You may not have killed someone. But you may have sinned against your brother or your sister. You may have put somebody down, and you might have been ugly to other people. And you might have let the world just drag you away from church and get you involved in so many things you don't have time for God, and working with kids to teach them about God and help prepare them for life in this world and prepare them for heaven. We want to give our kids everything sometime except Jesus. And that's what grieves me. I hate to see people so worldly in the church that they don't have time to spend with their kids in church and bring them to the things that the church tries to provide for them in order that they may know the Lord and come to know Him and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And we should always remember that we're in the business to help one another. And if you stumble, it's wrong for me to put my foot on you. And if somebody says something ugly about you, it's not my place to agree with them. Whenever people start talking to me about somebody else and putting them down, I've learned long ago, it's my place to stop them. I don't want to hear the trash. There was a man in the church where I pastored. I invited him to go with us to a convention because his family was from there. And I came home early, and he came back with some other folks. And the friend of mine that was riding along there said, "That guy trashed me." What grieved me more than that was that he would allow it. If you don't have a desire, and if you're not putting the Lord first in your life, and if you don't have a desire for your children to know Jesus, and if you don't have a desire for your boyfriend or your girlfriend to know Jesus, and if you don't have a desire for your neighbor to know the Lord, they sin in your life. And when King David, whenever his sins were pointed out, and then he realized how terrible and how dirty he really was, and he goes to God and he says, "Lord, my sins are ever before me." You cannot pray like you ought to pray if there's sin in your life. If things are not right in your heart toward God, and if you're not right in your heart toward other people, to one another, and if you are not seeking to be a benefit to other people in this life and this world in many ways. And we had a program last Sunday that tells us so many things. We can do church work, but the ultimate the work of the church, well, you know what I mean. Winning people to Jesus. I don't know of anything thrill my soul more than seeing people come to know Jesus. I don't know of anything that make this church more alive than to see people come to this church and the gospel is preached from our pulpit and the invitation is given than seeing a sinner let loose of the pew give his heart to Jesus and walk down the aisle and says, "Preacher, I've given Jesus my heart, and I want to live for Him now and forever." Why don't we admit what's wrong in our lives and just plainly talk to somebody who loves us, even no matter who we are and what we've done? So that we can tell somebody about Jesus. Care for our little children. Bring them up. We pray for them, wrap our arms around them, and take care of them. And I'm going to tell you something. You can have heard me, you've heard our pastor preach, and whenever the word is preached and you've learned something and you don't respond to it, you're under the judgment if you don't obey the word of God. And if you come in this sanctuary and you get so close to God, you feel His presence, know you ought to be saved, and you turn and walk away, I'm telling you something. You are lost. You're still lost. You can't straddle the fence. You have to make a decision. And every time you don't make a decision, you make a decision not to be saved or not to do what God tells you to do. We can get focused on a lot of things, more so. And whenever we come to this church, and whenever we come to worship, we ought to come to worship God and to glorify Him. And this is the only place that I know of that we get upset if we don't get out on time. I mean, the only place. I've thought about it. Now, I'm just as human as anybody in this church. And they say every once in a while, I said, Clyde, won't you let us go? But I want to tell you something. I've had people sitting in the pew when I was preaching and say, Paul, won't you let us go? But I want to tell you something. We don't need to be heard because we don't know who's here. Some folks here because they hurt. Some of us been here for a long time. We come just because we know that's where we ought to be, and we love to go and be with one another, and we need to share together. But that's not the purpose. The ultimate purpose is to hear the word of God and be fed and be strengthened, and then the gospel being preached that those who come in have never received Christ, that they may sense God, and that this church is no hurt. They would even kneel and pray with me and help me to come know the Lord. And today, please get whatever it is that's messing you up in your life, get it right. Walk with God again. If you've ever been saved and you walk with Him, you'll be like King David. And when he prayed, oh God, wash me up, clean me up, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, that I may rejoice again, and that I may be able to teach transgressors. There it is. When he got right once again, he wanted to be a witness. He wanted to see people come to know Jesus. I don't know what time it is, but I just want to share a simple story that will help you to understand how we all participate whenever we seek to be a witness in our community and in our world. I was pastoring a church some years ago, and I went out into the community to see a lady who was not a Christian. And I went her in a home and sat down, and she came. She had such of a background, she had never understood the gospel. And I shared the story that I shared with y'all to begin with. And her reply was simply this: you got to be kidding. She couldn't believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That they could come to know God and come to experience God and have the joy of living with Him and go to heaven. She just couldn't believe it. That lady came to know Jesus. She was a rural mail carrier. I'm sharing this so you can see how God works to touch human lives and win people to Christ. So follow with me, please. And one Sunday, she spoke to me and says, Paul, she says, I got a visit I think maybe you might ought to make. And I said, okay. She said, on my mail route, so there was a man over on certain road that filled out a card or questionnaire about that some religious organization had sent out and asking questions. Do you want to be a Christian? And so with a card, you know, being you can see it back and front, and she just glanced down and saw it. And so she saw that he had recorded, said he'd like to be a Christian. So she told me. Okay. Somebody mailed a card. Somebody read it. Somebody saw it. Somebody told me. And so I got in my car one day, just I don't know if it was Monday. And I went down the road, came to this house, and it was a trailer. I saw a man out in the back burning some trash. And I got out of my car and went around and to see him. And I said, Mr. So-and-so. And he said, yes, son. I said, I'm Paul Wade. I said, I'm out visiting. I'm going to drop by and see you. And so we got to talking, and I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? And he says, no. And then he said to me, he said, you know, I started reading my Bible. And he said, I've been reading that book. And he said, you know, that's true. He said, that book's right. He said, you know that book's of God because it talks about things that happen even before it happens. I said, well, you mean to tell me you've been reading that book and you're not a Christian? He said, yes, sir. He said, I've never been saved. I said, can we just sit down for a little bit and let me share with you out of the Bible how to be saved? And he said, yes. So we sat down. And I shared with Bill. Well, I forgot my tracks. Lord, behold, Lord, we'll get you one. But I ordered a bunch of tracks this week. I was sitting there and looking at tracks. And there's some real wonderful tracks that I picked out. And I went ahead and purchased them and got them here, and they shipped them quickly. And I got them, and they some on the table out there when you leave. And one of them's called the Roman Road. And you've seen that, but this one is a different one. And I just opened the scriptures and read it to him. And I said, you believe this book? And he said, yeah. I said, you believe that Jesus came into this old world and suffered in our place and died for us and then was resurrected? He said, yeah, I believe that. I said, well, let me show you what it says right here then. If you believe all that, do you want to be a Christian? Yeah, I want to be a Christian. All right, let me show you what it says. And so I read to him, you know, from Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13, how that, you know, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you know that Jesus is risen from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so as I read that to him and then read that, goes on down, said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And whenever you confess with your mouth, it says, thou shalt be saved. And then it's just to simplify, it says, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, you believe all this and you want that? He said, yeah. And I said, well, it says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Bill prayed and invited Jesus into his heart. And so I told him, I said, man, I always tell people this, and I believe we ought to always do this. We ought not to think about trying to get glory out of something. And of course, I really would have wanted him to come to our church, but I said, Bill, I said, now you go to church wherever you want to go, but you go and find a church and you be baptized and you get in that church and be a part of the fellowship. And so I had prayer with him, and I left. So he didn't show up Sunday, so I went back in a couple of weeks and talked with him, and he told me, you know, that some others had come and wanted him to go and join their church. And I want to tell you something. What he told me was something that was so important. It sure made an impression on me. And he said, I told them, no, I think I'll go to that church over yonder where that preacher came and told me about Jesus. And if you ever tell somebody about Jesus and they get saved, first of all, you won't forget it. There's no joy like the joy of helping somebody come to know Jesus. But I'm here to tell you, the people who mailed that card, the young lady and Bill filled it out, and the young lady who saw it, and then I went, and God used all of us. He just let me be the harvester that day. And the fellow James I was telling you about that was such of a burden on my heart, name was James Collins. I was 19 years old when I tried to lead him to Jesus. I went down to see my mama in November. I tried to do that every year in her latter years. And I went to the Piggly Wiggly store in Cairo. And I was going up the aisles, and I turned the aisles and just ran right into this man. And we almost had to embrace. Suddenly, and I backed up, and it was James Collins. And James said, "Paul, I got saved last year. And my mama told me I ought to call you." And I said, "You should have." Remember, some of y'all remember Edwin Perkle. Edwin Perkle had a brother, and some of you that have probably heard this, but he had a brother named Gene, which was a great man of God, serving God faithfully as former. He's still living today, nearly 100 years old. But Gene had a barn where he stored all of his cultivating equipment, harvesting equipment. And when you would drive up to his house, you'd look out and see the barn over to the left. And he had written in bold letters, "Christianity is my business." And underneath that he put down, "I farm to pay expenses." When your life can become so focused, you'll be almost like Jesus. And instead of wasting a life, making things worse by trying to live self and gratify self and justify self and please self and pamper self, and give nothing. I got another sermon I need to preach sometime. The lame man lying at the gate, beautiful in Acts chapter 2 or 3. Peter and John were going up ninth hour prayer, and he was asking alms. And Peter told him, says, "Silver and gold have I none." You can't give what you don't have, folks. I read this week. That's right, I'm sharing it with you. You can't give what you don't have. But in the name of Jesus, I say, rise up and walk. Lift him up. Lift others up. Let Jesus reign in your heart and in his church. Let us be a light on a hill. And if you're here today and you've never been saved, come to Jesus. And if you're here and you need a church home and you already know the Lord, then unite with the church. And if you say you've never been baptized, openly confess him unashamedly and see what great things God can do. I don't know what number you plan to pray, Mary Annie, but can we sing and play "I Surrender All"? And you might just want to come kneel and pray. You can do it back there. But sometimes it just does you good to get on your knees and pray. But whatever needs to be done, if you don't do it now, it's going to be harder and harder to do it later. And God's giving you this opportunity. And if you don't get it right now, I'm telling you, you're going to be a miserable, wretched human being. Right on. But confess anything, whatever it is that's keeping you out of fellowship with God and being used of God and lives being blessed in you and through you. And right now, secure your future. Bring peace to your troubled heart. If you're lost, you can receive him who is the Prince of Peace. May we stand, and our pastor standing here to receive you, and you come on right now.